Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
A year that we're going to bring to a close today. And one of the things that was really in my heart just as I was preparing for this message, if you remember Bob Hope, some of you are old enough to remember Bob Hope. Who remembers Bob Hope? All the young kids say, who? Bob who? Bob Hope. Well, he always used to do, I think, a yearly special. And at the end of the year, or end of the program, he would sing a song, Thanks for the Memories. Anybody remember that song? Thanks for the memories. I don't know if it went that way, but something like that. Listen, if you would stop looking so impressed like that, then I wouldn't sing like that, all right? They're over there rolling their eyes like, dear God, shut up. But anyways, there's that song that came to mind, Thanks for the Memories. And how many of you know that our life is fulfilled and filled with memories, and those memories are what makes us who we are, right? In fact, I was driving down the road just the other day. It was just last week, and it was during all the Christmas hustle and bustle. And, you know, this time of year kind of just causes some people to just get heavy-hearted and just struggle through the holiday season. And again, just there's people that are just struggling in life. And, you know, once again, 2023, it had its ups and downs. You know, there were some bumps and bruises along the way, you know, just like any year might serve up to you. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm glad that this year's coming to an end. But nevertheless, as I'm thinking about all of the things and the challenges and just things that we endured and trust God through in 2023, one of the things that I sat back and realized that on my worst day, I still have hope in Jesus. And I started to think about all those people that don't know Jesus, that don't have hope. And so therefore, the night gets dark and the days seem gloom, and they're looking for some kind of escape through substance or relationships or whatever it might be, and still finding that their life comes up empty because they have no hope. And I'm thinking, dear God, as difficult and as hard as things have been at different times in life, I still have a hope in Jesus. I still know that I'm going to spend eternity with Him. I know that this isn't the end of my story. And how many of you know that there's coming a day in eternity where we're going to look back and say, Earth? We were on Earth for when and where and how long? Right? Obviously, Earth's going to be recreated, but that which we know, I mean, we're going to have difficulty remembering this life when we're a million years down the road. You know what I'm saying? Because once again, this is not all that there is. This is just not even the tip of the iceberg. Because God has so much more for us, and it's coming this year. Amen? And so once again, I want to just take a time as we and just put ourselves in remembrance that as we reflect this last year was filled with memories, some good, some bad, some rewarding, some painful, some victories, some defeats. Some of new beginnings, some of endings, some that were expected and some that were unexpected. Amen? Nevertheless, all these memories shape who we are. All these things that we've experienced cause us to either be better or bitter, right? And so as we look at these memories have the potential of setting us back. They have the potential of holding us idle or propelling us forward. Let me say that once again. As we live life, life is full of memories, and it is the memories of life that will either hold you back, pull you back into the past, hold you idle to where you don't do anything, you're just stuck. Or it can propel you to move forward. Now, we would oftentimes think, well, that bad memories are the things that hold us back or keep us idle. But do you know that difficult times and bad memories can be the very foundation of things that launch you forward? Right? Because once again, there are bad things that can happen, but it can make you better. Amen. There are things that I've experienced in life where you didn't understand what was going on and you're questioning God, but then you begin to see that as it unfolds, that in God's wisdom and God's bigness, you're thinking, God, I could have never figured that out or orchestrated it the way you did. And therefore, at the end of the day, I'm better for it. Amen. Why? Because God knows exactly what we have need of. But nevertheless, whether those memories, whether they be good, the bad, the ugly, here's one thing that we know. What does the Word of God say in regards to our life? Once again, I'm wanting to encourage you to have an attitude that says, thanks for the memories. And you might look back on 2023 and say, man, there was more difficulties than good things. Nevertheless, it can propel you forward. What does the scripture say? Good, bad, or ugly. What does the scripture say concerning those things that we face? Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So no matter what happens, we are trusting in God and we can have a genuine thanks for the memories. Why? Because all things, God causes all things to work together for the what? For the good. Come on, say it with me. For the good to those who love Him. So in other words, whatever you've endured in 2023 or even going back. Sorry, I just got caught off guard. They're having this private conversation, laughing and cutting up, and I'm thinking, did I say something funny? And Randy's just telling his wife a joke. Okay, you know, anyways. Anyway, so regardless of what went on, I can't remember even where I was going. You realize good, bad, or indifferent memories can help us advance. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. Amen. So in regards to the Word of God, the Bible is full of people that have endured hardships, that have dealt with difficult times, and could be just like you or I, that look back and have memories that either pull them back, hold them idle, or launch them forward, right? So let's look at a few people. These are individuals that you all are well aware of. There are major players and there's minor players that we can look at. But let's look at a few of them just for the sake of putting ourselves in remembrance. You all know the story of Noah, right? I mean, here's Noah. He's a guy that's just minding his own business. And God says, hey, I need you to build a boat. Well, nobody ever saw rain. They never saw anybody using a big boat like that before. And so it just seems so absurd to them to build a boat like this. And then all the while, the Bible says that God is leading Noah to try to help people get into a place where they're right with God. So for years, for decades, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So in other words, he was continually saying to people, repent. God loves you. Get your heart right with God because there's something that's coming. Oh, come on, just repent because God loves you. And just as he's a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says that people grew angry with him and even sought to kill him. And he's fulfilling the plan of God. And everybody thought he was crazy until that day. And then the door shut. And it was just Noah and his family left, right? He could look back with a lot of regrets and memories and concerns and what ifs and what fors. But God called him to do a plan or to fulfill a plan. Look at another one, Abraham. Abraham, God said to him, he says, you're going to be the father of nations. The father of nations. And what does Abraham say to God? Well, that all sounds good, God. But I don't have a son. Haven't had a son. Need a son if that's going to come to pass. And for decades, we don't see the promise come to pass. So once again, Abraham could have had memories of question to say, God, you said, but where's the answer? Where's the promise? Where's the fulfillment of it? I've got decades of memories that say otherwise, right? What about Moses? Moses was given up as a baby. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He killed an Egyptian. And then he was put out into the wilderness. And then he led the nation of Israel for years. Rebellious people into the desert to the promised land. And they were so rebellious that they couldn't even get into the promised land. Right? And God says to Moses, he says, I'm just going to kill these people. He says, I'll make you a new people. And Moses says, now, wait a minute. Wait. You've got a promise. You've made a covenant with these people. How many of you know that the memories of all the difficulties and challenges could have caused Moses to respond differently? Right? I mean, I've talked to God about some of you. I said, just take them out, God. God says, you can't do that. No. You understand what I'm saying, right? If you were Moses, what would you have done? I don't know what I would have done. I would have probably said, yeah, go ahead. Give me a whole new people, please. I'm just tired of dealing with this. But nevertheless, he chose what memory he held on to. Remember Samuel? Samuel installs Saul as king. And what did Saul do? He rebelled against God. He became a wicked king. I mean, Saul could have said, God, what are you doing? You told me to install this guy. I mean, you could have seen what he was doing. What's up, God? And here we got this big mess. You know, in fact, David. I thought David was going to be the guy, but yet we installed Saul. Once again, another individual, you think about David. David was the individual that Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. But now you know the story of David. He's up there on the rooftop looking over to the neighbor's house and sees Bathsheba and is like, "Ooh, baby." Knew exactly when she was getting up there taking a bath. Watching her, got into lust, had an affair. Killed her husband, sent him into battle, right? But yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. There could have been memories that held him back and caused him to not fulfill the plan of God for his life. There could have been memories that said, well, you know what you did. But nevertheless, God didn't see him through that. And therefore, he had a choice. What memory will I hang on to? Remember Peter? You know, Peter was one that walked with Jesus. And Jesus even said, you're going to deny me. He says, the rooster is going to crow. And when it crows on the third time, he says, you will deny me. Oh, no, I won't do that. Right? And what happens? He denies Jesus. I mean, the memories of Jesus telling you to your face, you will deny me. No, I won't. And sure enough, you do. I mean, those memories alone could destroy your ministry, could destroy your life, cause you to just curl up in a ball and just be nothing for the rest of your life, right? Think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a man that was killing Christians, and then he met Jesus. And after he met Jesus, his identification was no longer in who he was, but was who he is through Jesus. And if you recall, he was in a conversation with somebody, and he said this. He said, I've wronged no man. How can the Apostle Paul say that? You were killing Christians, and now you're saying, I've wronged no man? Why? Because his memory was not of the past of what he did or what he was. His memories are what he is now in Christ and where he's going. It could have pulled him back. It could have held him idle. But he chose to allow it to propel him forward. Amen? And then what about Jesus, the ultimate example? I mean, he could have been an individual that said, you know what? You all ain't worth it. I mean, I came down here to help you out. I came down here to be the sacrifice. But man, you just ripped my beard off, spit in my eye, you know, just laugh in my face. Forget you, right? But he didn't do that. And Jesus, once again, is the perfect example as to holding on to the right memories. What's the memories? The memories of what God said. The memories of what God said, not what happened. Come on, that's what God's challenging us for this year. To hold on to what he said to you and me. Remember, I said this, all these memories make us who we are, but they can either set you back, they can hold you idle, or they can propel you to move forward. How many of you have noticed that the older that you get, the greater that regrets can become? Has anybody ever noticed that? The longer that you live, if you're not careful, the memories and things of the past can build up to where we live a life of regret. Right? We can live a life where we've had more loss in our life because we've lived long enough. We've lost loved ones. We've lost different things here and there simply because we've lived long enough. If we live long enough, obviously there's going to be a number of mistakes that we make, all of which, again, can cause us to live with regret. We can be living in the memories of the past. And the reason that oftentimes we live in the memories of the past is because the older that we get, the more we realize that more of our life is behind us than that which is in front of us. Hello? I'm starting to get of that age to where I'm starting to do math, and you're thinking, oh, I've got a greater number of years or a good number of years behind me. And as I said, you can start to have regrets of all the wouldas, couldas, and shouldas because of memories of things of the past. And so what are we going to choose to do? Are we going to choose to be thankful for the memories and allow it to propel us to move forward? Or are we going to let it to pull us back or keep us idle? We have a choice to make. Once again, let me give you a couple examples here in regards to why we struggle with holding on the memories of the past, especially as we get older. I glanced over and saw these teenagers. Do you remember when you as a teenager, you lived your life with the idea, well, you know, I got time. You didn't have a whole lot of motivation at some parts of your life because I've got time. I can do that next year. I can do that next year. I mean, I always wanted to have the physique like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there was a time I always said, I got time. Now I'm like, ain't happening. It ain't ever happening. Not in this lifetime. Right? Because too much time has gone by. Right? And so once again, the reason, now here's why we struggle. I want you to hear this. This is why we struggle the older that we get with the memories of the past. It's because we live from a temporal place in our life rather than an eternal place or position. Let me say that again. The reason why we oftentimes struggle with memory of the past, especially the older that we become, is because we live temporal rather than eternal. Do you realize that you're an eternal being? As I said to begin with, this life is not all that there is. In fact, this life isn't nothing in comparison to eternity. But yet, we oftentimes encapsulize it thinking, this is all that there is, and my time is almost up. No, your time is just about to begin. Can somebody say amen? Like I said, oftentimes we start getting all sentimental and getting all depressed and thinking about the past and just how little time we have in front of us. And it's simply because we don't realize how eternal that we are. We haven't even begun to live yet. But we think like so much time has gone by. I'll give you an example that has helped me over the years, and maybe it will help you. Because I've always loved music. I've always had the desire to learn how to play the piano or play the guitar. I just always wanted to. I say that I have a desire. I guess desires, the proof of desire is in the pursuit. And so if you don't pursue something, maybe you really don't desire it. But nevertheless, I've always wanted to. But the older that you get, you just start to get to the place where you're like, doggone it. I just don't have the time, or it's not a priority. And you feel like, I'll let time get by from me. I'll never learn how to play the piano. I'll never know how to play the guitar. That's one of the reasons why in our household, our children must know how to play an instrument. Why? Because I am training them to have a skill set in their life that they will have with them for the rest of their life. If they choose to not do anything with it once they get out of my house, that's on them. But at least when they leave, they are going to have a skill set of how to play music and worship God. Amen? But I tell you what, that memory of not learning how to play an instrument really dogged me for a long time. Remember I said your memories can pull you back in the past or hold you idle? And I was in that place and thinking, God, I wish I would have. And the Lord said to me, He says, you act like this life is all the life that you're going to live. I said, what do you mean? He says, you've got all eternity to learn how to play the piano. You have all eternity to learn how to play guitar. And when he said that to me, it set me free. I'm telling you what, I'm going to be learning how to play the piano somewhere over on the other side of eternity. I'm going to play in some of the greatest bands you've ever heard in heaven, baby. I tell you what, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. You thought Dave's screeching guitar this morning, his little solo was good. Listen, you come and check mine out a few years down the road, man. You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because once again, this life is not all that there is. And so God doesn't want us to live merely with this temporal mentality. He wants us to live with an eternal mentality. If you'll learn with an eternal mentality, things won't hang you up because once again, time does not exist in eternity. And your eternity began the moment that you got born again. And so the best is still yet to come. I said, the best is still yet to come. You know, I was talking with Dave Griffin a couple weeks back, speaking of guitars. He was saying when he was young, he learned how to play the guitar, but he laid it down for a number of years. And he said, you know, I'm really frustrated with that because, you know, I could have been something different or I could have had a greater skill set, you know, if I wouldn't have. Well, again, that's just a temporal delay. But once again, I guarantee you, there's coming a day where you're going to come up to Dave and be like, Dave, what happened to you? And he's going to be like, man, I have been playing with some of the best up here. And he said, I developed some things. In fact, I invented some things up here. Praise God, right? And so once again, memories don't have to hold us back. Say it with me. Thanks for the memories. Amen. Let me bring back to your attention Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I shared it with you already, but I want to read it to you from the Amplified. Notice what it says here. It says, we are assured and know. Let's pause right there for a moment. Notice what it says. We are assured and know. That first few words gives us the assumption that there is a memory of something. Once again, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labors, all things work together and are fitted into a plan. Okay, let's break it down for just a moment. We are assured and we know. We know of what? That God, being partners in their labor, all things work together for the good. So again, one of the things that we know, if we're going to experience anything good, we got to have God as a partner. How many of you got God as a partner in your life? Now be careful. Because you might be saying, well, he's a silent partner. He's a silent partner way back in the back closet there somewhere. No, we're talking about a co-laboring partner, right? That works alongside of us, with us, in intimate details. And it says, as a result, what happens? All things are fitted into a plan. So when we partner with God, whatever happens fits into a plan for what? For good. And for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. So notice there is a key element here in regards to the things of the past, the memories of things gone by, of things that happen in our life. They are guaranteed that they will fit into a plan, that they will turn out good, that they will benefit us. If what? If we labor together with God. But also it says this, if we love God and if we're called according to His purpose, meaning that our life is not our own. We are not living a life unto ourselves, but we're saying, God, what does my life mean? What do you want of me? What must we do? Show me what we are to labor together with. Because when we labor together, whatever comes, it will turn out for my good. And somehow, it has a master plan that fits into the puzzle to benefit my life. How many of you know that bad things happen? And God does not orchestrate bad things in your life. But the Bible says that God makes all things work together for the good. For who? Those that love Him. That labor with Him. But yet we see the body of Christ derailed from circumstances that happen here and there. They live in the past. They live with regret. Why? Because their life is unto themselves and it's temporal rather than eternal. Hello, somebody. Come on, I want my life to matter. I want God to use me. I want God to be pleased with me. And so once again, when it comes to my life, I have two options concerning the memories. Are my memories going to be merely temporal or will they be eternal? The reflections of our memories, what do they equate to? Let me just ask you to take personal inventory right now. You should be able to answer this question within 30 seconds. 5 seconds would be more than enough. But if you was to examine the memory of your life of 2023, what percentage of your life was living, co-laboring with God? How much of your life was in labor or cooperation with the plan and the purpose of God that is about eternal things? Now, I don't want to speak for you. But you know what? I would, if I was a betting man, I would say for the average person of the body of Christ, our life maybe has 1% of our lives that actually co-labors with God. And we live unto ourselves the 99% of the time, all the other rest of the time. And yet we say, God, how come? And God, what for? And God, and we're struggling with the memories, and the memories hold us back and keep us in regret and keep us depressed and agonizing of what was, when God says, listen, I want to propel you into the future because there is a plan and a purpose for your life. Is this hitting home with anybody? Because listen, 2024 can look different. You can be set free, you can be released, and you can set your feet running starting tomorrow morning, saying today is a new day. I'm going to fulfill the plan of God for my life, and I will determine the memories that I make this year rather than letting memories happen, rather than looking back and saying, well, that happened because, and that happened because something else was a result of it. No, I'm going to choose that 2024. When I look at the memories, they are memories that I create because I purpose to follow the plan of God for my life. Amen. We did this. God, you fulfilled that. Oh, God, I look at that memory, and that memory was a miracle. I mean, only God could do that. Woo, praise God. That's what 2024 is going to look like. Amen. Are you doing okay? All right, let me bring your attention real quickly. Let's bring this home. I know I'm taking a little bit longer, but let me bring your attention here to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, I want to look at verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1. I was reading this the other day, and as I'm saying that, you know, I'm looking at my Bible here. Somebody said this to me a little while ago when I used this particular Bible. There's a reason that I brought this one today. I used to preach from this Bible. But somebody said to me, they said, man, that is a honking Bible. That's huge. You know, there was a day that everybody brought a Bible to church like this. Now, most people don't bring Bibles to church. And again, I'm not saying that to be critical on you if you didn't bring one. A lot of people that just don't have a relationship with their Bible. In fact, for that matter, how many of you, well, I won't ask the question. A vast majority of us use our technology for Bible references. To study, to read. And let me say this to you. I'm saying this as a pastor, and I've talked with a number of pastors, that technology has hindered our ability to know the Word of God. And I'm speaking as a pastor. Because there was a day where, you know, when I would do my reading and my studying, I'd have my study Bible and I was chewing on it and feeding on it and meditating and cross-referencing and here and there. And you really had to study and you had to dig into it. But now all you have to do is type in something and boop, there it is. There was a day where we were so familiar with our Bible, we knew where it was on the page and we knew how to find it in the Word of God because we were familiar with our Bible. But now technology is just a matter of type it in something, and it takes us right there. Do we get the benefits of the Word of God? Yes, but we're not getting it in our heart like we used to. I don't know if that offends you. That's not the intent to do so. But I'm telling you what, we need to have a love affair with the Word of God. Amen? Notice what it says here. In Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Notice it says, blessed is that man. What kind of man? Blessed meaning empowered to prosper. You're empowered to prosper if you choose where you go, who you hang out, what you do. But then in verse 2 it says, "But he also delights in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." Everybody, you know that the word is the law, right? It's not speaking of legalism. It's speaking of God's word. He says, if you meditate in the word, or you shall meditate in the word day and night, verse 3 says, "And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in due season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper." Let me emphasize that again. For the individual that meditates in the word is somebody that is going to prosper, be successful, bear fruit in their life, and see the hand of God moving in their life. The person that gets into the word, meditates on the word. What is the word of God? It is the memory of God. Remember I said this, thanks for the memories. You can look back over your life and think of all the memories that beat you up, tore you down, or you can get into the Word of God and build your memory on the memories of the Word of God that will cause you to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You'll be rooted deep. You'll stand strong. You'll have fruit that remains. Your leaves will not wither. And anything that you put your hand to, it'll prosper. Amen. Why? Because I'm learning and partaking of the memories of God. Amen? It's significant for us to understand what this looks like. Now, there's a difference in regards to, well, let me say it this way. The Word of God can shape your memories, or your memories can shape the Word. Let me say that again. The Word of God can shape your memories, or your memories can shape the Word of God. Meaning you can fit the Word of God into your little corner if you want to. Or you can let the Word of God expand your mind, develop your faith, and grow who you are. Let me give you an example of that. Randy, will you help me with that? Can you bring that stuff up for me? Thank you, sir. I got an example here that hopefully it will bear reference or help bring understanding. I said that it's up to you as to what memories you meditate on. And you can be thankful for the memories and allow it to grow you, develop you, and mature you, or you can let it hold you back. So, for instance, Let's just pretend that these empty vessels, one is your spirit and the other is your soul. All right? So, I said that the Word of God will help you develop the mind of God and grow in the memories of what God wants you to know. But here's the extent of where most Christians are. And once again, this is not being hard or critical. This is just reality. So we can just be honest, right? But for most Christians, we try to fit God's Word and God into our life. And so we kind of live this life with crumbs. For the sake of knowing what these are just little oyster crackers, okay? So we come to church every so often. We hear the Word of God. We don't spend time reading the Bible at home. And so, again, the Word that we get and just the developing that we have spiritually is just minimal. We've got crumbs in our life, right? I mean, it's in there, but they're just crumbs and little morsels that we give to our life. But then when it comes to life and the memories of everything in life, how many of you know that memories just come flooding of all the stuff that we experience? Let's just say that represents 2023. Maybe it was bad and you're going into 2024 thinking, dear God, look at what 2023 looked like. And you're thinking, yeah, but the Word of God says. Well, how much memories do I have compared to the memories that I have? It's unbalanced, is it not? But once again, this is filling me up internally. But here's the thing that happens, that when whatever gets filled, my soul gets filled up with it as well, to the measure of what the other full measure is. So now I've got the memories that are rattling around, things that I'm having to deal with, things that I'm contemplating, the thoughts that the enemy's bringing back. But what ends up happening, my soul gets filled up with all those memories too. Now my mind, my will, and my emotions are getting filled and they're coming into agreement, and therefore there's two against one. Are you seeing the example? And so therefore my life is governed by the memories of what was. But all the while, God has given me memories to build my life on. And so, if I will allow the Word of God to develop my memories, to renew my mind to the mind of God, and begin to fill this up, and fill this up, and fill this up, what ends up happening? This over here begins to get filled up as well, and my soul and my mind, my will and my emotions align themselves with the Word of God. And therefore, even though there's memories that want to come and want to say something and want to infect my life, I've got a greater supply of heavenly supply that's outweighing whatever the enemy wants to bring. And he says, but you remember. Yes, but I also know. And he says, but you remember what happened over here. But yes, I also know what happened on the cross. And he says, but you know what you saw last year and the answer didn't come. But I know that God is faithful and He makes all things work together for the good for those that love God. Amen. And so God is wanting us to get filled up with His Word. My challenge is for you this year in 2024 to get the Word, the memory of God on the inside. Renew your thinking, renew your mind so that you begin to think like God. And when you think like God, you'll see like God. And when you see like God, you'll have like God. Because He's given you the ability to change your landscape. But we've got to be thankful for the memories. Let me share this with you real quick, just as we close. Why don't you stand up with me? I know I went a little long. I apologize. Notice what the Word says. This is the commentary of my study Bible in regards to meditation. Listen to this real quickly. It says, in regards to the scripture where it says to meditate day and night, it says, to meditate means to reflect, to moan, to mutter, to ponder, to make a quiet sound, such a sign, to meditate or to contemplate something as one repeats the words. Said it also represents something quite unlike the English meditation, which may be a mental exercise only. Now listen to this. In Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft, droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. From this tradition comes a specialized type of prayer. The prayer is intense prayer, getting lost in communion with God and bowing your knee or your head, rocking back and forth. Now, I'm not sharing that with you for you to get caught up in the tradition of it, but did you notice? To meditate day and night means for you to remind yourself and to even say, this is what God's word says. This is what God's word says. And when the enemy brings thought, you answer it by saying, God's word says. And you drown out all the outside distractions with the memories of God's word. And what happens? You begin to have close communion and fellowship with God. What does that look like? He works all things for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't know about your 2023. I'm choosing to be thankful for the memories. 2024. I'm choosing to make my memories. And I'm going to be thankful in advance because I'm increasing this in my life. Amen. 2024 is going to be an amazing year. Let's go after God. Are you with me? Amen. Let's bow your head and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word, for the memories of the goodness of God. God, you said that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You said that you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You said that all things are possible to him who believes. You said that nothing shall be impossible for you. So God, we thank you for the memory of your word and that your word will prevail. For it does not return void. And we'll give you thanks in advance. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen and amen.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today. And we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.